बाबा कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहार जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधवा गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन यशोदनंदन गज जन रंजन यशोदन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदन यमुना तीरावन चारु यमुना तीरा यमुना तीरावन चारु यमुना तीरा जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय राधा माधव अथा माधव राधा जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर जय कृष्ण बलराम 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 जय गौरानिताय 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 जय गौरानिताय जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा शील प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय जय प्रभुपदा जय जय गुरुदेव 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 जय जय गुरुदेव जय जय गुरुदेव गुरुदेव जय जय गुरुदेव
ज्ञान विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिजिकाचार्य स्तोत्र शाशी श्रीमद चिदानंद गोस्वामी श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ज्ञान विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिजिकाचार्य स्तोत्र शाशी श्रीमद चिदानंद गोस्वामी श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरी गौर भक्तवृंद की जय श्री श्री राध कृष्ण गोपक विना श्याम कुंद रात कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय मयपुर धाम की जय गंग माय की जय मन माय की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी महारानी की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरे रिभो All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Gauranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. So today we are continuing studying Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद सो इट्स माध्य लीला Chapter 6, Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and today's verse 133. Please repeat. Upanishad shabdiye mukya artha haiya. Upanishadiye mukya artha haiya. Sei artha mukya vyasa sutre sabakaya. उपनिषद शब्द ये मुख्य अर्थ है से अर्थ मुख्य व्यास सूत्र सब खाया उपनिषद शब्द ये मुख्य अर्थ है से अर्थ मुख्य व्यास सूत्र सब खाया Anybody? Upanishad shabdiye mukhya artha haiya. Sei artha mukhya vyasa sutri savakaya. Matajis? Okay. What mean Upanishad? Of the Vedas. Shabde, by the words. Yay, whatever. Mukhya, direct. Artha, meaning. Hara, is. Sei, that. Artha, meaning. Mukhya, chief. Vyasa Sutra, in Vedanta Sutra. Saba, all. Kaya, describes. Translation improved by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the Vedanta Sutra is a summary of all the Upanishads. Therefore, whatever direct meaning is there in Upanishad is also recorded in the Vedanta Sutra or Vyasa Sutra. Proper. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has explained the word Upanishad in his Anubhashya. Please refer to Adi Lila 2nd chapter 5th verse and Adi Lila 7th chapter verse 106 and 108 for his explanation. So sorry, it's a long, very long explanation over there, and I would like just to, I read it and I would like to give a summary of all this. Om Gyan Chimaran Desya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Miltamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langaya Tegirim Yad Kripata Maham Vande Shri Guru Ndina Taranam So, as you already understood from the verse, today there's going to be a very philosophical topic about Vedanta Sutra and Upanishads. It's please don't fall asleep. It's going to be very philosophical like class today. But I will try to say some few stories in between in order that you not fall asleep. Vedanta Sutra. What is the Vedanta means? Vedanta means the end of the Vedas. So, and traditionally, Vedanta consists of three things. It's called Prasthanatraya. So, this Prasthanatraya means three things. It's Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, and Vedanta Sutra. These three things consist is Prasthanatraya. And there is also another three categories of things in the Vedas, which means Shruti, Smriti, and Nyaya. So these also three things, and Vedanta Sutra belong to Nyaya or logic. So, we know that Shruti and Smriti. So Shruti consists of another three. It's Brahmanas, Aranyakas, and Upanishads. And Smriti, it's also includes three things. It's Itihasas, Puranas, and Mahabharata. Additional to the Vedas, the Mahabharata. And Nyaya is a Vedanta Sutra. And why we are studying the Holy Scriptures, why we study the revealed Scriptures, and why we study Vedanta Sutra, why we try to study Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, or Vedanta Sutra, in order to increase our faith. So we are studying the Holy Scriptures in order to increase our faith. And because if we have, for example, if the person comes to the Krishna consciousness, of course, in the very beginning he doesn't have any doubts because he's very much convinced of everything and he's new, everything new to him. But after some time, some doubts comes to his heart. And this very important, you know, the doubts, it's destroy the faith. And in order to keep the faith good and better and have a fundamental fundament for that, for our faith, we have to increase our faith by studying the Shastras. This is very important to know. Because we might ask, what's better, to study scriptures or just chant and dance? And definitely the chant and dance is much better than studying the scriptures. But you can chant and dance for a while, and after that it will stop. It's not going to take long. Without faith, without knowledge, you're going to stop chanting and dancing after some times. This is, we have many practical examples of that. So, and in order to obtain bhakti, we need faith. And the scriptures, they help us to destroy our doubts and to increase more faith. And it's very important also to study the scriptures under the guidance of the proper or the bona fide spiritual master. This is also important. So Vedanta Sutra is like a code. Code in order to understand the Vedic scriptures. Just like we continue the study of dialogue between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was explaining for 7 days his Vedanta Sutra and other spiritual scriptures to Lord Chaitanya, and he saw that Lord Chaitanya didn't answer anything to him. And finally he asked him, why are you not answering anything? Do you understand my explanation or not? And Lord Chaitanya said, well, I understand the meanings of the Vedanta Sutra and I understand the meaning of the scriptures, but I don't understand what you explain. You just give more clouds. You're giving me foggy fog in my knowledge. I mean, it's very important to have a bona fide spiritual master, because without bona fide spiritual master, we just become confused. And we know also that Shri Upanishad is one of the Upanishads, and if we will read this Shri Upanishad without Srila Prabhupada's purports, we will be very much confused and we will not understand anything of the Upanishads. And so it's very important. And also if you try to study the Vedanta Sutra or Upanishads by your own efforts, it's also, the result will be the confusion. confusion and lose faith and increase in doubts and everything. So, and today we also speak a little bit more because Vedanta Sutra is a quintessence, is a cream of the Upanishads. And we know who knows how many Upanishads is there? How many total Upanishads? 108. And how many is the main, the chief one? 11. Yeah, 11 Upanishads and 12 together with Gopaltapa Upanishad. So what does it mean Upanishad? What does it mean Upanishad? Yeah, there is a few. There is a few also explanation because Sanskrit is a very difficult language, and he has many varieties of explanations. Upa means close, and Nishat means sit down. So Upanishad means sit down next to spiritual master and listen to him. This is meaning of Upanishad. Another meaning of Upanishad also. Upa, it's also close. Ni means certainly, and shat means to destroy. So this also means that the knowledge, if you approach to this knowledge destroy all your doubts and material desires and all anarthas. This also means Upanishad and all the ignorance and bad habits. So this is the meaning of Upanishad. So, and Upanishad also, they help us to find the absolute truth. And with the Upanishad, if we understand them properly, we can disentangle from this material world and find the right answers in all our doubts. And so this is the meaning of Upanishad. They have to disentangle us from the doubts and from this material world ultimately. So otherwise we'll have the opposite result. Opposite result is the confusion, doubts and everything else. And unfortunately Srila Prabhupada only only give us the Sri Upanishad. But in the purports to one of the verses to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he writes that in the future we're going to publish the purpose to Vedanta Sutra and to all main Upanishads. But unfortunately he didn't finish that. But at least we have Sri Upanishad. But even from Sri Upanishad we can understand that it's very difficult without understanding, without Srila Prabhupada's purpose. It's very confusing. I myself was trying to read without purpose, because in the beginning when I was just joined, I didn't want to read alone purpose, but I just read only shlokas, and I didn't understand anything about that. So after some time I start reading the commentary, and after some time the understanding is little by little start coming. So so it's one very important point that all the Vedanta Sutra and Upanishad consist of the answers and questions and answers. So all these Upanishads, question, answer. It's perfect questions, perfect answers, perfect questions. So, and the Upanishad teaches how to correctly or properly to ask, teach us how to find the proper questions, how to do it properly and systematically. So we have to ask questions of the spiritual master very submissively and proper questions, and then we'll, the spiritual master will reveal us the truth by his mercy. And And also the asking question, it's a manifestation of the intelligence, and it helps us to destroy our doubts also. Just like about questions and answers, in one of the purports of the first canto, Srila Prabhupada explains, tell us how that whole our life consists of questions and answers. So he said that the merchant, he is asking on the marketplace how much and what is it. So, and the birds is coming, when the mother bird is coming to the nest and bring to the baby some food, and the baby is asking, did you bring something? Did you bring something? And with open eye, with open mouth, did you bring? So this kind of questions the all living entities ask. But according to what kind of questions we're asking, to that degree, our life is flowing to that same degree. So the Vedanta Sutra and Upanishad and Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita teach us how to ask proper questions, ask spiritual questions, not just like material questions, how much, who is this, why he married that girl, why he divorced and everything. This is not kind of question that we have to ask. So we have to remember about the supreme goal, and we have to ask why we came to this material world, how we should get out of this material world. This kind of main questions we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves. We have to ask spiritual master, and we always have to meditate on this kind of spiritual questions. So now we're going to describe 11 main Upanishads, chief Upanishads, and I'd like to tell a little bit about each Upanishad, a little bit what the main topic of this Upanishad and what is talk about. So we know already that the main Upanishad is 11. So, and the 12th Upanishad is, sometimes the Acharyas said that Gopal Tapani Upanishad is the 12th main. So, and mostly the Acharyas, Vaishnava Acharyas write commentaries or Bhashya on this 11 Upanishad, this main Upanishads. So, and we know that the most prominent commentator of the Upanishads is Shankaracharya. Also, when we try to think that when we hear about the Vedanta Sutra, we immediately understand that this is Sharaka Bhashya. Now, actually this Vedanta Sutra originally is Vaishnava literature. It's only because Shankaracharya was so powerful, he wrote his Bhashya, Sharaka Bhashya, and it was so prominent that since his how many years already passed? It's 1200 years passed after his death, and still the Sharaka Bhashya and his purports and his Bhashya to other Upanishads is very prominent still, because he was a great person. He was a very powerful person. And so it's so Acharyas, they start to writing this purports or Bhashya commentaries to the Upanishad. It's this tradition begins with Shankaracharya, because he started it first to give the purports to the main Upanishads. And he wrote the purports to 10 Upanishads, and but also 10 Upanishads, and he didn't write only the purports only to Shvetashvatara Upanishad, because Shvetashvatara Upanishad is the Upanishad so vividly explained the personal nature of the Supreme Lord that it's very difficult to hide the personal aspect of the Supreme Lord trying to comment on this Upanishad. We know that this famous verse from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, which Srila Prabhupada very much referred to, is Parasya Shaktir Vividhaya Shurate Swabhaviki Gana Bhava Kriyacha. So this explained that the Supreme Lord has unlimited energies, supreme energies, And it's the whole world and spiritual and material world controlled by these energies. So actually, but as explained by Vaishnava commentators, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, it's also actually the commentary on Shitashvatara Upanishad also exists by Shankaracharya. But modern Mayavadis, they don't like. They don't like to admit that Shankaracharya also comment that Upanishad, because actually it's very easy, very difficult for Mayavadis to comment that, and it's very difficult to hide the personal nature of the Supreme Lord. So, okay, this is about tradition of the purpose. And so the first Upanishad is which is at, on the top of the all the Upanishad is Isha Upanishad, and we know the Isha Upanishad. We are not going to describe it because probably everybody read it. It has 18 mantras. So the second Upanishad is a Keno Upanishad. Keno Upanishad refers to it's belong to Samaveda, and actually all the Upanishad is very short. The average of the verses in all 108 Upanishads is 30-35 verses only, except only three big Upanishads. These three big Upanishads is Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad, Brihat means big, and Chandogya Upanishad and Taittiriya Upanishad. Taittiriya Upanishad. So, and Keno Upanishad describes some Upanishads describe the stories, and in this Keno Upanishad, Keno means whose, by whom, Kena, Ken. So Keno Upanishad describe one story about how when the demigods and demons were fighting between each other, and they won. So they won that battle, and after some time they made the party after that. Demigods won. And they made some party. And this during that party, some special person came to that party, and he called himself Yaksha. This those who remember if I try to explain in each detail all these stories, it will take so much time, but I will give you just a summary of that. So the demigods and demons were fighting, and Supreme Lord Vishnu, he became invisible. He became invisible, and in this invisible form helping demigods to win the demons, and in this invisible form he killed all the demons. And demigods, they of course they didn't see anybody, but they were fighting, but all of a sudden they noticed that they won, because Lord Vishnu was invisible to them. So they was very happy. After that they made a party and they started to congratulate each other. And after some time, at some point, some yaksha appeared on their party. And it's a very funny story, actually. So this yaksha came with the other people. With the Uma, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. And the demigods was very happy, and they thought, "Oh, who is that person who came? What he want from here?" They decided to send Agni to find out who is that person. So, and they sent Agni and told him, "Go and ask him who is this person and what he is doing here." And Agni start approaching to that yaksha, and he was trying, and only he opened his mouth to ask him. And Yaksha, because this is Lord Vishnu in form of Yaksha, he knows all the living entities because he is present in everyone's heart. And immediately he understood what kind of question he wanted to ask. And before he opened his mouth, he said, "And who are you?" before, and Agni was shocked. And how he understood what I'm going to ask him? "Who are you?" And he said, "I am Agni. I'm very powerful demigod." And Lord Vishnu, Yaksha, said, "Well, if you're so powerful, can you? I heard that if you're very powerful, okay, so could you burn this little blade of grass?" And he said, "Of course, not a problem." And start blowing on that little blade of grass. And he was trying out of his all his strength, and he didn't even move that blade. So he start scratch his head, and he said, "This strange person." So he returned back to Yudhimgas. "Well, I don't know, I didn't understand who is that person." Okay, then they send Vayu. "Okay, go out and figure it out who is that person." And he also he start approaching Lord Vishnu, and he said, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm a Vayu, I'm most powerful living entity, I'm a demigod." "Okay, if you're so powerful, can you move this blade of grass a little bit?" And he started blowing, and he didn't move an inch of that blade of grass. And he also started to scratch his head and become red and returned. He said, "Very powerful living entities, I guess." So they discussed a little bit. They decided to send Indra. And Indra, at that time, he was already beaten up a little bit, so he had some realization because it happened after some lila with Krishna, so he understood. So by his humility, he understood that this is not ordinary persons, might be Supreme Lord. So he started asking Lord Vishnu, in a humble state of mind, "Who are you?" So, and Lord Vishnu explained to him, "That was me who was in invisible form, was helping all you demigods." And he instructed, Lord Vishnu instructed all the demigods, "Don't be proud of your victory, because you have to always remember that I am above all of you." So this is this story in Keno Upanishad. Also, in Keno Upanishad, it explains, it begins with the question, who gives this ability to the man, to the human being to speak? Who can give this ability to move to all living entities in this world? And by whose will our concentration, how we can control our mind, with whose help we can do it. So, and this explained in Keno Upanishad. So, next Upanishad is the Katha Upanishad. So, Katha Upanishad, it's belong to Krishna Yajurveda, and it consists of 120 mantras. And it also starts with the story. Story about one boy, his name was Nachiketas. He was a son of the Brahmana, Vajrasalas. And so it's explained in this Katha Upanishad that his father was doing some sacrifice, and his son, Nachiketas, was sitting next to his father. So when he finished his yagya, it's time to give dakshin to the priest. And Nachiketas, the son, noticed that his father is given as a dakshin very old and useless cows to the priests in order to finish our sacrifice or yagya successful. we have to satisfy all the priests and all the guests on this yagya. Only after that we will get full result of our yagya. So, and he noticed that he gives useless cows, old, useless, who has no milk, and he couldn't say to his father directly that, why are you giving these old cows to this, you're not going to get a good result from your yagya. And so he humbly approached to his father and said, Pita, could you please, I've noticed that you're giving out very old cows, and I know that you're not going to get good result. Could you please, instead of these useless cows, well, of course he said in another way, but I'm just, can you donate me instead? Maybe, because this, ultimately this useless cows is just useless, but me, I can do something for your guests in order to, and finally you will get the good result of your yagya. And his father, he became a little bit angry. He noticed that his son is too a little proud. So he was a little bit angry and he said, of course I will donate you, but I will give you as a charity to Yamaraj. And his son said, okay, no problem, if you want, I can go, you can donate me to Yamaraj. But his father, a little bit pacified, and said, I'm sorry, son, but it was a joke. If that means I have to kill you, give to Yamaraj. But his son said, no, whatever you said, it's okay. Whatever your words should be fine. If you're not willing to do it, I will do it myself by my own will. So he went to Yamaloka. So he went to Yamaloka, and Yamaraj noticed him there. And he noticed that this person is not from my planet. He's not one of the prisoners on my planet. So he decided to test him. And he didn't show up for 3 days. So he was sitting next to his palace for 3 days, waiting for Yamaraj. So after 3 days, Yamaraj decided, well, I guess this young boy is a little bit sincere, so let me ask him what he wants. So he came out, he apologized to him and said, sorry that I kept you waiting for 3 days. What would you like? What do you want? And he said, because you were waiting for me for 3 days, please ask me for 3 blessings. I will satisfy you. Because you're so, so much patience to wait. So ask me for 3 benedictions. And of course the boy asked 3 benedictions. What was the first? What do you think? What was the first benediction he wanted to ask Yamaraj? Warm. But he wants to... first he asked, let my father get all the benefit from his yagya. So he wanted his father will get benefit. So first. Second one, he asked Yamaraj to explain to him what kind of rituals he must do in order to get to the heaven. Anyway, this boy wanted to go to the heaven. And the third benediction he asked he asked, can you explain to me the nature of the soul, the nature of the living entity who is never dying, and explain spiritual topics to me. So first two benedictions, it was easy for him to give, but for the third time, Yamaraj, for the third one, he wanted to bribe him. Well, maybe it's not necessary for you to know all these spirituals, you're too young, you don't understand this. Let me give you a few thousands of cows and I give you much gold and money. Well, but this boy said, no, you don't try to cheat me. Give me the spiritual knowledge about the soul. So, but he noticed that this young boy is very much eager and qualified for that. So he explained all these spiritual topics about the soul in this Katha Upanishad. So next Upanishad is Prashna Upanishad. Prashna Upanishad consists of 68 mantras and also consists of the answers and questions. Questions and answers. And this Upanishad, Prashna Upanishad, is a dialogue between a spiritual master and his six disciples, Pipalada Muni and six disciples. And each of these disciples ask one question to his spiritual master. And one after another, he answered these questions. So these six questions is, first question was the nature of the living entity and where they come from, this living entity, is the first one. The second one, how the devas or demigods exist in my body, in the human body, the second one. The third one is the nature of the prana, or how the body lives, by whose power. And the fourth one is the nature of the individual soul and three levels of consciousness. We know these three levels of consciousness is Jagrata, Svapna and Sushupti. So Jagrata means wakefulness, Svapna means dream, sleeping with the dreams, and Sushupti means deep sleep. Number five is what is the nature of the meditation on syllable Om? What the syllable Om gives us? And the last one, number six, is what's the nature of God? This is the last and main topic. So this in this 68 mantras explains this knowledge. So next Upanishad is number five is Mundaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad, what does it mean, Mundaka? Who can guess? Like we chant, it's also Mundita. Mundita and Mundaka is the same word. And we chant in about Lord Chaitanya. Mundita something. Mundita. So Mundita means shaven, bald. So this Upanishad is for those people who is a sannyasis. So because usually sannyasis shaving their heads. So this type of knowledge is accessible only to the sannyas, those who are on the level of sannyas and who is in sannyas order of life. And this Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, belongs to Atharva Veda and consists of 64 mantras. And it also begins with the questions also, and the dialogue. Dialogue between Shaunaka Rishi, and he asks questions to Angira Muni. Angira Muni answers. So, and he asks summary of this Upanishad that Shaunaka Rishi asks Angira Muni, what is that one thing that by achieve something one, I can understand everything else? In other words, it's a question of the lazy student. He wants to know one thing and don't want to study all other things. And Angira Muni, of course, we know, he answered to him, this is Krishna. If you know Krishna, you don't know, you have nothing to study anything else. So this is explained in this Upanishad. Also, it explained different meditation, different kind of prayers, with which we can achieve the Supreme Lord. So number six is Mandukya Upanishad. Mandukya Upanishad is very short, the shortest Upanishad. It consists only 12 verses, 12 mantras. And it's also very very nice Upanishad, because it says if you don't want to study all other Upanishads, it's enough only study this little short Upanishad and you'll understand everything else. So this Mandukya Upanishad. And it's from Atharva Veda. And now it's one of the biggest Upanishads from Atharva Veda. Yeah, it belongs to Atharva Veda. And the, one of the biggest Upanishads is the Taittiriya Upanishad. Taittiriya Upanishad belongs to Krishna Yajurveda. And we know that, well, it consists of the three parts. It's called three valleys. And it has 34 underparts in each valley. It means 102, underparts. So this, and you know, Taittiriya Upanishad, it's, Taittiriya means, how say? Yeah, how, when they eat, how? Bark? When? No, like, they eat. Well, they eat. But birds, they not eat, they huh? Yeah, they peck. So this Taittiriya means Taittiriya. And we know that story that spiritual master of Yajnavalkya, he claimed to give his knowledge back. So he have to vomit all this knowledge out. And the disciples of Yajnavalkya, they become the birds. They turn to the birds and they peck all the knowledge. Huh? Yeah. Yes, so Yajnavalkya, he vomited this, but this is very important Upanishad, one of the biggest Upanishad, and it's valley. First valley called Shiksha Valley, second one is Ananda Valley, and third one is Bhrigu Valley. And so the first Shiksha Valley is explained all kind of meditations. Second, Ananda Valley explains Ananda Valley is very nice, so it explains very nice things there. And third one is Bhrigu Valley. It's a dialogue between Bhrigu Muni and Varuna. Bhrigu Muni asks the questions of his father Varuna, and Varuna explains where this world, material world, appeared from, came from, and who is holding all this world, and who is destroying all this world. And the second valley, the Ananda Valley, it explains very nice arithmetical things. It's explained about the nature of Ananda. We know that Ananda, it explains how we can measure Ananda. For example, we know that all living entities has all kinds of different happiness in their lives. But in Ananda Valley, it explains how we can measure this happiness, and how we can measure the living entity who experienced that Ananda in different levels of existence. So it's explained that, for example, one unit of Ananda, they said that, for example, we take one unit of Ananda, and this one unit of Ananda consists of, if we take the young man, and he's very strong, very beautiful young man, very healthy, very well educated, and in his prime, and he owns the world. This is one unit of Ananda. This one, for example, it's all kind of allegory, but this is a unit of Ananda, one unit of Ananda. So, and it's explained that Upanishad, that, for example, those who on the level of Gandharva lokas, they have 100 Anandas, 100 Anandas. This living entity feels 100 Anandas. You can imagine, if one Ananda in this world, you healthy young man, owns the world, this is one Ananda. Gandharvas, they have 100 such Anandas, 100 Anandas. You can feel how much happiness this living entity can experience in this body of Gandharva. So, then he said, if you go a little bit higher on Pitriloka, the Pitas, they experience 100 multiply 100 Anandas. That means 10,000 Anandas. Those living entities who enjoy on Pitriloka, they has 10,000 Anandas. So if you go a little bit higher than Pitriloka, those who are a little bit higher, it's Devas. Devas, they have million Anandas. 100 multiply 100 multiply 100. So it means 10,000 multiply 100, that 1 million Anandas, the demigods, one of the 33 million demigods. They have million Anandas you can imagine how much happiness the living entity has in this level of enjoyment. So if we go a little bit higher, so much higher is if you multiply 100 more times from million, it means 100 million Anandas, and this living entity experience Indra. Indra experience 100 million Anandas. This living entity Indra, he has. And if we go even higher, even multiply Indra's Anandas as 100 million Anandas, it's equal 10 billion Anandas. The Brahma enjoys the 10 billion Ananda, 10 billion Ananda. You can imagine, you can't even imagine that anymore, how much Anandas living entities can feel on Brahma Loka. And it is explained that those persons who achieve the level of Brahman, it's at least, it's 100 times more than Lord Brahma, the happiness, the Anandas. And what to speak of those who get up even higher, achieve the level much higher of understanding of Parabrahman. Parabrahman, it says, unlimited Anandas. So it's even, you can even imagine the living entity can feel so much Anandas in this living entity, in this human form of life. 5 more minutes, okay? Okay, so it's explained in Nectar of Devotion, the Sarva, Sandrananda Visheshatma, this concentrated bliss. And it's explained that those person, even we are, those who conquer his senses and who understood the Vedas, he can achieve all these levels. So it's explained in each Ananda, it's explained that, for example, Pitas or Gandharvas and those who achieve, who understood the Vedas and who can control his senses. So this kind of few. So that means that the person who understood all the Vedas and who conquer himself can, according to his desire, he can achieve all these levels of existence. So this is so big perspective for that. So the number 8 is Aitareya Upanishad. Aitareya Upanishad is from Rig Veda, and it has only consists of 33 mantras. And it's explained how this world was created and how the Lord exists in this world. So number 9 is the biggest, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This is from Shukla Yajurveda. And it's very... it's explained also in this Upanishad, the dialogue between Yajnavalkya and one Mataji, ascetics Mataji, Gargi, dialogue and dispute. Dispute? They dispute. Sorry. Dispute between Mataji Gargi and Yajnavalkya. And you know, this... it's also Srila Prabhupada also refers many times to in his books to this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, and this famous mantras is Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamasima Jyotirgama Mrityuvar Amritam Gamaya. So Asato Ma Sadgama means get rid of lie and come to the truth. Tamasima Jyotirgama came out of darkness to light. Mrityuvar Amritam Gamaya, get rid of death and acquire immortality. So, and this also, the story about in this Upanishad explains how, you know, Janak Maharaj, he liked to all kinds of disputes, and he asked, he tell to his, to all his kingdom that those who wants to conquer all my, all other sages, I will give 1,000 cows. So Yajnavalkya came to this assembly and with his disciples and tell his disciples, take the, this 1,000 cows, even without dispute, because I know already everything. You can give me without disputes. So everybody was a little bit shocked and confused and said, let us talk first. Okay, so and the all kinds of munis and sages started to ask him the questions, and he easily, very easily answer all these questions. And at the end, and everything was good until one ascetic lady started to ask him spiritual questions. So at that time, she was so powerful that for him it was very difficult to answer that question. But ultimately, yeah, he answered all these questions. 5 more minutes, yeah. So he answered all these questions, and finally he took all these cows. Everything was good. So, and the 10th one is Chandogya Upanishad. It's also very big Upanishad and consists of 8 chapters. It belongs to the Samaveda. So it's also very many interesting stories explained in this Upanishad about Udalaka, Aruni, Shvetaketu. I'm not going to say this this story because no time. And so in this Chandogya Upanishad, it's very difficult also comment for the Vaishnava Acharyas because this very much look like Mayavadics. But actually, Vaishnava Acharyas also did comment on that Upanishad. And because it's also, in this Upanishad is the famous motto by Shankaracharya, who he's made his all his doctrine, Advaita Vedanta, with the motto Tattvamasi. So it explains in this Tattvamasi. Also in this Upanishad explains the story about Virochan and Indra, how the Lord Brahma taught Virochan and Indra about how to understand the soul, Brahman, and everything else. So, and the 11th one is Shvetashvatara Upanishad. About this will be explained. So about Vedanta Sutra, a few words about Vedanta Sutra. So Vedanta Sutra consists of the 4 books. 4 books it's called 4 adhyayas. And in each adhyaya it consists of four padas, four underparts. So it means the Vedanta Sutra, another name of Vedanta Sutra is Shodashaka Pada, 16 legs. And it's consists of 555 sutras. So this is the cream of all the Upanishads. Lord Vyasadeva, he read all the Upanishads and he made one cream. Made Vedanta Sutra. It belongs to the Uttara Mimamsa. We know these six schools of philosophies, and so Vedanta Sutra belongs to Uttara Mimamsa or Brahma Mimamsa. So, if you'd like, I have 2 more minutes, and we'll finish about adhyaya, each part, main part. So the first two parts is the Sambandha Jnana. Third adhyaya is Abhideya Jnana. And the third one is Prayojana Jnana. So the first is called the first book, the first part called Tattu Samanvaya. It's explained about the Brahman. Second one is called Aviroda. It's get rid of all these contradictions. The topic of the third part is the Sadhana. Sadhana is explained the path, practice Abhideya. The topic of the fourth last chapter is Prayojana, how the spirit soul returns to the spiritual world. And it's called Pal result. Result of all this knowledge. And the last sutra of Vedanta Sutra is sound like Anavriti Shabdat, 2 times. That means liberation through the sound. It's also explained many, many different topics in Vedanta Sutra and explains about the karma, how we can destroy the karma, what happened to the soul when it's come out of the body and how the living entity come into the body, about different levels of consciousness and many esoteric things. So last thing then I wanted to say that of course all these Vedas and Upanishads are very difficult topics, but Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharyas gave us the cream of all the Upanishad and Vedanta Sutra, and what's that? Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we get all the results. We can get rid of all the doubts, and we can increase our faith to unlimited faith. So, and we will have no problem if we study Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously. Thank you very much. Sorry for so much things I wanted to say, but so I guess nobody has any questions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Gaura Premanande!